Boom! We're back. What's happening, party people? Welcome to another episode of Two Guys and One Lapdog, the podcast. Today is a special day because we are now officially doing our second spepisode. Yeah, you heard that right. It's a special episode because we have a special guest in the building. He's a reoccurring guest here, and he, for lack of better terms, is a fan favorite. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to NPR Matt, as he will read a few short stories for your enjoyment.
How's it going, everybody? Well, winter is upon us here in Oregon. Snow in Forest Grove today. It's quite beautiful. So in lieu of a normal podcast, I think we're going to do some readings, some short stories, poems, maybe an excerpt or two from a novel. So stay tuned, and our first one will be here shortly. I felt it was appropriate to open with a short story. This is called The Huntress by Sophia Samatar. For fear of the huntress, the city closed like an eye. Only my window stayed open, because, as a foreigner, I didn't know any better. In the morning, poor children would scrub the stains from the roofs. Now, the rain-dark head came down and rested on the dome of the embassy. The moon shed feathers of light, as if molting. In the morning, the eaves would drip with a pinkish foam. A stench of fur came in at the window. I went to slam it shut, but instead I stood there, fingers gripping the edge of the frame. I closed my eyes in the searching heat. All over the city, people were taking shelter in their cellars and under their beds. Once there were two children, and they were the only ones on the block, who kept the passion for monsters after they grew up. The only ones. Why should that be? Our dad used to tell us stories of camel herding. He would scare us by mimicking the sound of a lion. This lion didn't sound like any lion from movies or games or anything. It had a whining hunger. It was a tenor lion. Her prowler's voice, surprisingly high and small, like a question. All over the city, people were covering their heads. The leaves outside my window shrank and smoked. Exiles and insomniacs share this feeling, that each is the only one. I feel like I'm turning into this fierce person, a taskmaster to myself, like a ballet dancer or a monk. Are monks happy? No. They are not interested in that category of feeling, but I'm supposed to be. I'm an American. The huntress left dark patches wherever she passed. She left a streak. In the morning, the hotel staff would find me unconscious, gummed to the floor, the proprietor weeping, for nothing like this had ever happened in his establishment. Nothing. Had I not read the instructions on the desk? The fierceness can be seen around the mouth. I compress my lips when I'm thinking. Our dad was the same way. In the morning, the staff would run me a bath. Now the huntress bent to my window. But she was not there to feed. She was there as a witness. Again, that was The Huntress by Sophia Samatar, a Somali-American writer and associate professor at James Madison University. This next poem might be slightly more familiar to the audience. It is Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening by Robert Frost. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near. Between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake, to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. Ah, what a sweet poem that is. Our next reading will be an excerpt from the book Handle with Care by Jodi Picoult. You can tell yourself that you would be willing to lose everything you have in order to get something that you want, but it's a catch-22. All of those things you're willing to lose are what make you recognizable. Lose them, and you've lost yourself. Next, we have one of the most famous works of writing in the English language. This is Sonnet 18 by William Shakespeare. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometimes declines, by chance or nature's changing course, untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou oust, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growst. Wow. Riveting. Next, we have a poem by Li Po, Drinking Alone in the Moonlight. This one hits close to home. Beneath the blossoms with a pot of wine, no friends at hand, so I poured alone. I raised my cup to invite the moon, turned to my shadow, and we became three. Now the moon had never learned about drinking, and my shadow had merely followed my form. But I quickly made friends with the moon and my shadow, to find pleasure in life, make the most of the spring. Whenever I sang, the moon swayed with me. Whenever I danced, my shadow went wild. Drinking, we shared our enjoyment together. Drunk, then each went off on his own. But forever agreed on dispassionate revels, we promised to meet in the far Milky Way. Next, we have another very famous piece of work. This is The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Our next poem is by Langston Hughes. I Too. I too sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes, but I laugh and eat well and grow strong. Tomorrow, I'll be at the table when company comes. Nobody will dare say to me, eat in the kitchen then. Besides, they'll see how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I too am America. Following the vein of great African-American orators, we have an excerpt from Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, delivered on August 28, 1963, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a desert state, sweltering with the heat of injustice and oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I would be remiss to quote Martin Luther King and not his contemporary, Malcolm X. This is a shorter quote from a speech, but equally powerful. This was given in New York City on November of 1963. If violence is wrong in America, violence is wrong abroad. If it is wrong to be violent defending black women and black children and black babies and black men, then it is wrong for America to draft us and make us violent abroad in defense of her. And if it is right for America to draft us and teach us how to be violent in defense of her, then it is right for you and me to do whatever it is necessary to defend our own people right here in this country. Powerful words from a powerful man in a time of great strife that we still seem to be experiencing today. And finally, I would like to conclude with a personal favorite. I'm sure many of us have heard this one before, but I do like to visit these words in times of unknown or stress. This is Invictus by William Ernest Henley. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears, looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Whew, chills. beautiful, truly. Thank you very much for tuning in and enjoying some of these works of literature with me. If you have any that you would like to hear me read, please just let us know. At @2guys1lapdog on Instagram, at @2guys1lapdog on Twitter. And of course, you can always call, leave a voicemail, let us know what you would like to hear. 808-551-2474. And please, have a good rest of your day. Thank you very much.